Hope you can say that, and if you can't say that, I want you to know it's not God's fault. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Exodus chapter 14. A few Wednesday nights ago, I started a sermon series, and then I got interrupted with our stewardship conference, and next Wednesday night is we'll be serving the Lord's Supper, and then our conference will begin for our Great Southwest. So I thought I'd finish it tonight, and so open your Bible to Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14. Now I'm going to cover some of the things that I've already said just for information and introduction, and then we'll preach the last two points of the message for you tonight. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God. And by the way, let me say to all of the people that had a part in helping to provide food for the Shattuck's family the day of the homegoing of Brother Shattuck's mother, how much I appreciate your help. And those of you that took it to their house and helped there, thank you so much. My, what a great ministry and a great help we can be. And it's really not a burden to any of us to do it. We can minister and be a blessing and a help. And I just wanted to say thank you. Begin to follow me as I read in Exodus chapter 14 and verse number 5. Now the story is about the deliverance of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And the Bible says, "And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled." That is, Israel is leaving the country now. "And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants were turned against the people, and they said, 'Why have we done this? Why have we let them go? That we have let Israel go from serving us for all of these years now.'" Generation after generation after generation, they've served as servants, as slaves there in Egypt. From the time another Pharaoh was raised up that knew not Joseph, until this present time, they've been under taskmasters. And now then, God had raised up Moses and sent him back to Egypt for the purpose of delivering Israel from the Egyptian bondage. And you know the process of the plagues and how God did His work there. And finally, the last plague was the death angel that came through and the blood that was to be put over the doorpost of all of God's people so that the death angel would pass over that household. Well, after that, Pharaoh said, "Take your people and get out of here." And Moses led Israel out of Egypt. Some people have said as many as a million. Some people, others have said as many as 3 million. We don't know for sure. But at that moment when they were leaving, the people were so glad to get rid of them because of all of the plagues they'd been through that they're giving them gold and silver and precious jewels and so forth just to get them out of there. And now then, after they have gone, Pharaoh begins to think about it. And he said, and some of the people began to think about it, and they said, "What are we doing? We've just lost our slaves. And why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" Brother Don, I'm a little hot here on this mic. "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. And the Egyptians pursued after them. And all of the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside there. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'?" By the way, nobody made them leave with them. And many of them that came out with them was of a group called the mixed multitude. Not of God's people, not believers, not followers of God. They were mixed multitudes. Now then they're saying, "We told you so back in Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. But lift up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, and upon all his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horses. So, we'll leave off reading there. And you know the rest of the story, how that God opened the Red Sea and the children of Israel crossed over on dry ground and Pharaoh pursued after them. And in the midst of the Red Sea, God allowed the waters to come back together and they all drowned there. They all died. God destroyed the army of Egypt there in the midst of the Red Sea. And this same group of people that are so afraid and are crying out, this same group of people who's at their wits' end not knowing what to do, just a little further over or on the other side, standing on the bank singing victory song because God intervened for them. I want to speak to you tonight what to do when you come to your wits' end. What to do when you come to your wits' end. I've been there before. I've been there. I've not known what to do or where to go. I'm grateful for a word from God that will give us direction and help in those times. And I want to talk to you tonight for just a little while about what to do when you come to your wits' end. Father in heaven, help me tonight to remind them of the points that's already been preached, and then bring the message to its conclusion. Because we still come to that place where we face our wits' end. We don't know what to do. And we need your direction and your help. We know what not, we need to know what we should not do, and we need to know what we ought to do when we come to that time in our life. Lord, give me wisdom tonight and help me to be able to speak clearly and plainly to make known this simple message so it will help us. For surely this year, every one of us at one time or another are going to find ourselves in a situation where we come to our wits' end. We don't know what to do next. So help us, Lord Jesus, that we might learn these principles in order to have your blessing and your direction in our life. We'll thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. No one in that crowd could deny that God's presence had been with them. They had witnessed the plagues in Egypt. They had witnessed the protection of the Egyptians from the plagues and from the death angel. They saw a Pharaoh and a people ready for them to leave. And not only that, but God gave them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to lead them in their journey. The pillar of cloud was a protection and a covering for them in the midst of the hot desert sun. And the pillar of fire was God's presence and also God's protection and God's warmth for them in the cool of the desert nights. They knew God was there. No one in their right mind could deny God's presence with them. And now then they find themselves coming out of Egypt and they're at their first barrier. They're at the Red Sea. And while they were encamped at the Red Sea, trying to figure out what they was going to do to get across, they looked back and they saw the clouds of dust and heard the rumblings of the chariots. And they knew that Pharaoh had changed his mind and they were coming after them. What were they going to do? The Red Sea was too wide and too deep for them to swim across. How would they get their little kids, their belongings across? What were they going to do? They were slaves. They were not warriors. Were they going to turn and fight? They were at their wits' end. They threw up their hand. The complainers began to complain. The fearful began to fear. Those that didn't know what to do bit their fingernails. They were at their wits' end, not knowing where to go, what to do, or the next step to take. And here, we're given some instructions that can help us in our daily walk with God. Because I'll tell you, I've been at my wits' end. I've been to that place where I didn't know where the next paycheck was coming from. I didn't know how I was going to pay my bills. I didn't know where we were what we were going to do next or what to do next. I've been to that place. What do you do when you come to your wits' end? Now, in the midst of all of the presence and the working of God, there was a group, and it was a large group, called the mixed multitude. And I believe personally that this mixed multitude was in on all of the murmuring and complaining. All of the negative things were being said. And I want you to know, in our churches today, we still have some of the mixed multitude. You see, I wish I could tell you everybody in Trinity Baptist Church was saved. I wish I could tell you everybody in Trinity Baptist Church was right with God. But there's some people here that love God and believe God and are trying to serve God, but we've got some people of little faith. And we've got some murmurers and complainers here also. And now then, when Israel finds themselves at the Red Sea, the murmurers begins to murmur. The complainers begin to complain. The I told you so's begin to say, I told you so. We ought not to have. What are you going to do? Well, the first thing you do is not to listen to those that are not of faith. Don't listen to the murmurs and the complainers. Don't listen to the mixed multitude. And I say to you again, and I said it the other night when I preached this first part of the message, there are so many of God's people that are well-meaning. When they have trouble, they go to the wrong people for counsel. They go to the people that's in the same trouble they're in. The people that are making the same mistakes they're making. The people that have no advice to give them because they are not victors or conquerors in their own life. If you're going to get counsel, go to somebody that believes God. Go to somebody that believes the book and lives by the book. Go to somebody that knows how to trust God and obey God. Don't go to the complainers and the failures. Don't go to those that are unbelievers and not of faith. I'm amazed at people having problems, marital problems. They'll go to a secular, unsaved counselor for help in their marriage. And that counselor's many times has been through a divorce or two himself or herself. Why do we do that? Why don't we go to somebody that believes the Bible? I'll tell you why you don't, because you don't want to hear the Bible. I have people all the time come to my office wanting counsel, and then they won't heed it. They say, I know what you're going to say, and then I say it. And they leave there and waste their time and mine and don't practice what we said. Because they don't want Bible counsel. They want to do it their way. They want to make their own mistakes and play the fool and go through the heartaches and the sorrows and the tears and to listen to those that are not of faith. Had Israel listened to the murmurers and complainers and gone back, they'd have been slaughtered. Israel's only hope was onward and forward in the will of God. And I want you to know our only hope is onward and forward. Don't listen to those who are not of faith. Don't listen to those who'll give you the advice of the mixed multitude. Get counsel from somebody that believes the Word of God and loves the Word of God and lives by the Word of God and practices the Word of God. We make this mistake over and over and over again. Why should God's delivered people listen to those that don't believe God's Word? We say we're people of God. Why do we go to people who don't believe in God for counsel? Why? Someone there would have said, well, let's turn and fight. They'd have died right there. The man of God had a word from God concerning what to do next. They were at their wits' end. But while they were fearing and while they were troubled and not knowing what to do, God was speaking to his man and saying, here's where you do, what you do next. God already had the victory planned for them if they'd just keep on trusting and keep on obeying. So the first thing we're not to do is not to listen to those that are not of faith, those who are of the mixed multitude. Secondly, not only we're not to listen to that crowd, but we must not go back to Egypt. You didn't make a mistake when you trusted Jesus Christ. You didn't make a mistake when you depended upon Him for salvation. You started a journey on your way for God and on your way to the promised land, the glory land, the hallelujah land, the victory land. You started a journey that ultimately is going to give you a life worth living here with God's blessings and promises and protection for your life. Plus, you've got heaven to look forward to. Why would anybody want to go back to Egypt? Dear God, they were under the taskmasters. They lived as slaves. They worked from daylight to dark. The best they ever had to hope for was to be a slave. Why would you want to go back? And before you came to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were a slave to sin and a slave to the devil. What did the devil ever do for you? How did he ever help you? Whatever blessing has ever come your way that did not cause ultimately pain and sorrow and hurt and heartaches in your life? Why would you want to go back to Egypt? Why would you want to go back to the world? They said, man, we told you we ought not left. Some wanted to go back. But I promise you, Egypt, they were not pursuing after them with this army to take them back. This is going to end their life right there on the banks of the Red Sea. And I want you to know the devil does not love you. The world does not love you. You're a child of God. The world at best may tolerate you. But if they have a chance, they'll get rid of you. They'll mock you. They'll have nothing to do for you. The Bible says all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's the world that's going to do that and that crowd. Jesus said they didn't love me and they're not going to love you because we're not of the world. Why would you want to go back to the world? Let me go a step further. Why do you keep on to practice the things of the world? You've been redeemed. Why do you keep on wanting to smoke the cigarettes and drink the booze and dope the dope? You're a child of God. Why are you running around like a dog after a female in heat? Lusting. That's not the people of God. That's the world. That's the work of the flesh. What do we do when we don't know what to do? We don't listen to the wrong crowd and we don't go back to the world. Don't go back to Egypt. Thirdly, when you come to your wits' end, don't be afraid to trust God and obey Him. Look at verse number 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Now, this is after the people said, we told you, you're going to lead us out of here and kill us in the wilderness. We'd rather stay in Egypt. Why'd you bring us out here? And Moses speaks up in verse number 13 and says, said unto them, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. Now you say, how in the world can that man of God stand there and say that? Because he had a word from God. He had heard from God. He had been in touch with God. And God had given him the instructions for the next step. And he said to them, fear not. The problem among Christians today is we allow fear to paralyze us. Fear in our lives reveals the absence of faith and trust in God. When you choose to live in fear, you choose to forfeit the blessings of God. And let me tell you what makes us afraid. It's sin that causes us to be fearful and faithless. Fear fogs the Christian's mind. Fear exaggerates the power of the enemy and minimizes the power of our great God. Fear puts the Christian servant on the shelf as unusable. Fear prevents us from ever winning the victory over the enemy that hinders us. Fear pushes God out of our life as the preeminent one. And I can tell you hundreds of times that Satan has lied to me and hurt me, but I cannot tell you one time that God has lied to me or has ever done me anything but good. Fear not. Trust God. Obey God. Faith produces courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is fear under control. God said, fear not. God's telling them and He's telling us to get your fear under control. Fear robs us of our trust in God. And let me say to you, as I finish summarizing that point, don't be afraid to trust and obey God. He's still God. God's not going to ask you to do something that's going to hurt you or destroy you. You may think, man, I can't do this. Sometimes we ask God some weird things and God says, come on. Kind of like Peter. Lord, if You'll bid me come to You, I'll walk on the water. And God said, come on. Peter stepped out. Walked a little way. Then fear overcame him. Began to sink. God had to reach out and pick him up. Don't be afraid to trust God. He's still God. He wants to do you nothing but good. He wants to help you, to strengthen you. He wants to help you on to that next step and that next plateau in your Christian life, to that next victory in your Christian life. And then, not only are we not to fear Him, fear God, we're not to be afraid. We're to trust Him and obey Him. You know, it's amazing how our fear of the enemy steals our faith in our God. Now that means the enemy has got to be bigger than God in our own eyes. That tells me we spend little time in the Bible. That tells me we have little confidence in the promises of God and the God of the Word. You say, I wish God was bigger to me in my life. Spend more time reading about Him in His book. That'll increase your faith. And the more faith you have, the bigger God is in your own eyes, in your own heart, in your own life. Suddenly, as your faith grows, God becomes bigger than your problems. bigger than the enemy that's pursuing you. Quit living in fear and trust God. Believe God, and our trust and our belief has got to be based on God's Word. Fourthly, when you come to your wits' end and don't know what to do, stand still. Look at verse 13. He says, "Fear not and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." When you come to your wits' end, don't let fear paralyze you. Stand still and look for God. He's there. He's got the answer. He's the victory. He's the victor. They could see what God had done for them by delivering them. God doesn't deliver us to give us back. You do understand that. God doesn't deliver us so we can be failures in our Christian life. God does not deliver us so that we can live a life paralyzed by fear. God does not save us and deliver us so that we can be entangled in sin's bondage. God has a plan for our life and a place for our life and a program for our life. We better stand still when we come to our wits' end and we don't know what to do. Quit listening to the wrong counsel. Quit going to the wrong people. Don't go back. Don't even think about going back. Bless God, when I took that step of faith, Calvary separated me from the world. I now belong to God. I don't belong to the world. I have a new citizenship, a new name, a new beginning, a new hope, a new direction, a new purpose. Don't go back to the world. Stand still and look for God. God wants us to get out of the panic mode and into the trust mode and just watch Him do His work for us. He wants to work for us if we'll let Him. Stand still. Don't react to fear. Don't do anything that'll make the situation worse than it seems. Trust God. Stand still. Yield to God. Quit complaining. Start praying. And watch God. God gives us three don'ts. Don't be afraid. Don't run. Stand still. Don't be afraid. Don't run. Don't go back. And then fifthly, learn to let God fight your battles for you. Now there's some things I can do. But there's some things I face in my life I can't deal with. I can't do by myself. Now I don't believe we ought to say, "God, I'm smoking. I want you to take away cigarettes from me." You can pray for His help, but you're going to have to quit. God didn't get you into that addiction. He'll help you get out of it, but He's not going to do it for you. I prayed that prayer when I smoked back in the 60s. I said, "God, I'm teaching a little Sunday school class, and I don't need to smoke. Would you help me quit smoking?" And I did. God made me sick that week. I got sick. And I could not stand the smell of tobacco. Every time I'd smell it, I'd throw up. And after a week of that, I didn't want any more of them. And I didn't have any more of them. But boy, I went through a terrible ordeal overcoming it. And I didn't just wake up one morning and say, "Well, God's taken them away. I don't want them anymore." Boy, it was a process that I had to go through. God help me. You know, so many times we want God to do it all. When we didn't get into the mess we're in, God wants us to do what we can to get out of it. For instance, God didn't get you into the financial mess some of you are in. It wasn't God that charged $10,000 on your credit card. And God's not going to suddenly drop $10,000 in your pocket to pay for it. Because he knew if you did, you'd spend it on something else. You'd still keep on making the minimum payment at 29% interest for the next 2,000 years. But I want you to know, when we're in the will of God and we find ourselves at our wit's end and we're at a place where doing what God told us to do, there's no place to run, no place to go, no place to get out of it. What do? Learn to let God fight those battles for you. They were at that place. You say, well, they could turn and fight. That all died there. They were slaves, not warriors. They might have had a hammer or a trowel or a rake, but they didn't have a sword. So Moses said, fear not, stand still. See God work for you. In fact, look at verse number 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, have you ever been to that place? When you're trying to obey God, you're trying to serve God, you're doing everything you're supposed to do, and you find yourself at a sea, a Red Sea, that you can't cross, and the enemy is pursuing you behind, going to try to overtake you and destroy you, what do? Learn to let God fight those battles for you. Somebody lies about you, what do? Let God fight that battle for you. Somebody's critical of you and they're criticizing you and murmuring to others about you. I know what you want to do. You want to take care of them yourself. You better let God fight that battle for you. Let me ask you. You want to fight all those battles? You want to do all the kicking? You want to do all the getting even. You want to get the revenge. What can you do that God cannot do? Can I tell you what you can do that God cannot do? You can fail. God can't. We need to learn to trust Him. When we're in His will, when we're doing what He asks us to do, when we are where He's put us in the will of God, and problems come and difficulties come, don't run. Don't quit. Don't blame others. Don't try to get even. Let God fight those battles for you. And I'm telling you, God can gain the victory and God can take care of the problem far better than you did. Because here's what God did. God said, Israel, you just stand still. You're here where I put you. I delivered you from Egypt. I led you to the Red Sea. That Red Sea problem is not your problem, it's my problem. That enemy pursuing you is not your problem, it's my problem. You just trust me. Fear not. Stand still. I'm about to fight for you. And God didn't send big tanks or smart bombs or stealth bombers. God said, Moses, lift up your rod over that Red Sea. And he lifted up that rod and it parted. Wall of water over here and a wall of water over here. I don't believe it was a path for a one-lane traffic. I believe it wasn't a path where they had to go single file. I believe it was wide enough that their carts and their horses, their sheep, their cattle, their carts could all cross over on dry ground. God did it. They just stood there and watched. Suddenly that water began to part. And God held it in a heap on each side. And a valley opened up through that Red Sea, and God said, all right, go to the other side. Pharaoh is still coming after them. He said, how come he didn't overtake them while they were crossing over? Because there was a pillar of cloud, and the angel of the Lord was there watching their backside. He had their backs. And he opened up the way for the front forward movement. And they crossed over. And they got on the other side, and Pharaoh started to cross, and they watched. When Pharaoh's army got down into that sea, God let the water cover them. God said, you're never going to have to worry about Pharaoh and his army again. You'll never see them again forever. God took care of it. And when you let God fight those battles for you, God does a job that's complete. He does a job beyond anything we could have ever imagined or we could have ever thought. You know what they did now? They stood over the other side and they looked back across the sea, and up was popping chariot wheels and chariots and this and that. Bodies began to float up of their enemy, and Israel stands over there on the other side singing victory song. You know why you've never been able to sing victory song? Because you've been listening to the wrong crowd. You've been following the wrong counsel. The reason you've never been able to see God fight for you and win that battle for you is you've tried to take care of it by yourself. You tried to deal with the circumstances in your own way. Or you lived in fear and ran. You didn't stand still and let God deal with the problem. You didn't follow the directions of the Lord. I want you to know, for every situation we face in our marriage, in our work, in our children, in our personal life, there is a principle to help us and to guide us in the Word of God. And if we're ever going to have God's blessings in our life, we better learn to live by this book. Not allow fear to paralyze us. Not listen to the wrong crowd. Not follow the wrong people. We better learn to stand still and let God fight those battles for us when we come to our wits' end. And then, lastly, when we come to our wits' end, don't stop in your God-given journey. Allow God to do His work, and you keep on pressing on in the will of God. Look at verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thy hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. You see, God's plan for them was the promised land. It was on the other side of the Red Sea. So what do? When you come to your wits' end, and well, you don't give up, you don't quit, you don't stop. You let God do His work, and you just keep pressing on in your God-given journey. Press on in the will of God. There's a time to stand still and allow God to do His work. There's never a time to stop in our pursuit of God's revealed will for our life. God's will was for Israel. For Israel was the promised land. There are going to be times when the economy will hinder us in our church ministry. There'll be times when problems will arise and some will leave and others will get discouraged and quit. There are times we'll come to our wits' end. But when we do, remember, God is not dead. God is still God. Don't listen to those not of faith. Don't listen to the murmuring mixed multitude. Don't go back to Egypt, no matter how appealing the devil makes it appear. Don't be afraid. Just believe God and keep on trusting Him. Don't run. Stand still and give God a chance to do His work. Don't take matters in your own hands. Allow God to fight those battles for you. Don't give up on God's revealed will. Keep pressing forward in the will of God, regardless of how bad it seems. The truth is, God had victory already planned for Israel. Egypt's defeat was just a short distance away. Had they not obeyed God, they would have died there on the wrong shore of the sea, the Red Sea, because they obeyed God, He gave them another great victory that day, and He turned their fear and their murmuring into rejoicing and singing on the other side of the Red Sea. Now, why did God put this story in the Bible? You know, this story that I've read to you from Exodus 14 is not limited to there alone. It appears again over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul uses it. And God tells us why He put this in the Bible. He said in 1 Corinthians 10:11, "Now all these things happened for them for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon the whom the end of the worlds are comes." And the context of that passage is about Moses and the children of Israel after their deliverance from Egyptian bondage. It has to do with exactly the things and more that we have been preaching about in this series. He wants us to know how to act when we come to that wit's end. He wants us to know when we can go no further, what do we do? And He's told us in simple, plain examples. And then puts it in the New Testament and says, "I've written this down for you so you can learn from it and you can practice these principles in your life. And you can enjoy the victories that I want to give you." And let me tell you, God may not open the Red Sea for us, but God can do things just as miraculous in your life and mine if we'll learn to trust Him, if we'll learn to obey Him, if we'll quit listening to the wrong crowd, and fear not and stand still. Trust Him and let Him do His work as we obey His word. We too can stand and sing victory song regardless of the circumstances. Father, that's our message. Thank You for the wonderful truth of this story. Thank You that You loved us so much that You put it in the Bible where it happened and then used it again in the New Testament and said, "I'm doing this for You, for us, for our benefit." Lord, we need to know what to do when we don't know what to do. We need to know where to go when we don't know where to go. We need to know what to do when we come to our wit's end. When the enemy is pursuing and we're doing everything we know how to do, trying to obey God and live for God, help us to practice these principles and watch God intervene for us today. Lord, thank You for the opportunity to come and kneel at an altar and tell You our burdens and our needs. Instead of trying to act like they don't exist or ignore them or minimize them, help us to come and lay them at the feet of our Savior and ask for Your help and for Your intervention and trust You to do Your work in our life.